Are you looking for food truck books to read, but you're starting to feel overwhelmed with all the content? Or maybe you're trying to find answers to your questions, but you realize you haven't asked the right questions to get those answers. Well, you're in luck. I wrote the book, Before You Launch a Food Truck, 8 Questions Every Aspiring Food Trucker Should Ask. For the past 5 years, I have been studying the food truck industry and been a diehard food truck customer. And in the process of that, I've learned a lot about what makes a good food truck stand out among the rest. I took 8 of those key concepts and created a book where I could have curbside conversations with each of you about them. What makes this book different is not only that it's digestible and designed to not overwhelm you, but it also propels you into action. You can purchase Before You Launch a Food Truck today at thefoodtruckscholar.com/shop in paperback and ebook format, as well as on Amazon. For every copy purchased, I'm donating a copy to organizations committed to helping formerly incarcerated individuals re-enter society, particularly those that are interested in starting their own food business. So, buy a copy today to help yourself and someone else get rolling and keep trucking. What's up, everybody? Welcome to the Food Truck Scholar Podcast. I'm your host, Ariel D. Smith, and I appreciate you for choosing to kick it with me for yet another episode. Make sure you share your thoughts on today's episode on social media using the hashtag TFTSPodcast. Today's episode is a collaboration I have been looking forward to for a minute. All roads lead to Charlotte, North Carolina, where I get to share the mic with a peer food truck expert who is none other than James Williams, aka the Charlotte Food Truck Guy. Today, we discuss how James became invested in the food truck industry, popular food truck misconceptions, business plans versus pitch decks, and we share what a pitch deck actually is for those of you who are wondering. And a few exciting projects James has up his sleeve that I want everyone to support. So sit back and relax. The show starts now. So James, I'm so excited to have you on today's show. So for our listeners, can you just tell us who you are, where you're based, and what's your brand name?
Absolutely. My name is James Williams. I am based in Charlotte, North Carolina, primarily, and my brand name is, the primary brand name is the Charlotte Food Truck Guy.
Listen, I have been so, so excited for this collaboration. I have been following you on Instagram since I started, and I'm celebrating my 1 year anniversary this week on June 6th. So,
oh, congrats.
Thank you. And congratulations are in order for you, and we'll talk a little bit more about that later, but it is so awesome to have another food truck person on the show. So I'm going to nerd out a little bit. So tell me, hey, we're here for it. So
absolutely.
How did you get started with the Food Truck Guy in Charlotte?
Okay, so basically I moved to Charlotte, North Carolina from Miami, Florida. Okay. And I was having a hard time with the culture shock or lack thereof of culture in Charlotte. I couldn't find a lot of cultural foods that I was looking for, plenty of Mexican food, but other than that, there just wasn't much in the city. And one day I happened to stumble upon a Food Truck Friday event here in Charlotte in an area called South End. Mm-hmm. And there were all of these food trucks and people just lined up, just hundreds of people. And I pulled over and jumped out and went to go see what was going on. And I just kind of stood in the middle of it and I saw a Mediterranean truck. I saw a Mexican truck. I saw a grilled cheese truck. I saw an Italian truck. And I realized that not only was the food truck culture in Charlotte a way to, for me to be able to find some of the cultural foods I was looking for, it really brought the community together. Because another thing that I saw was I looked around and I saw all different types of cultures. hanging out in the same area, all for the same event, enjoying food, laughing, and just spending time with each other, other than on their phones or some electronic device.
Listening to you share that story, it took me back. I normally share my food truck anecdotes, but I forgot about this one until you was telling your story. When I moved to Nashville, Tennessee from Birmingham, I only knew one other person in the city. And so I was pretty much by myself, especially when I first got there. And so I decided to explore the city on my own. I didn't have a car, so I took a bus to Centennial Park and got there, and there was food trucks all throughout the park, and then they had like a concert going on. And like you, for a moment, I just stood there in the middle of the park and I just watched everything happening. Like, I saw all of the trucks.
Exactly.
And it was just, as I'm hearing you talk now and I'm reflecting upon that moment, before I even became the food truck scholar, it was just that infatuation about there's all of these different types of food from all of these different types of places in one spot.
Mm-hmm.
And even in that moment, I ended up talking to some people and sitting down with them, people I had never met before. And I think it just started over, hey, can I sit here? Because I don't want to drop my food. And it was like, yeah, come on over. And we just had this whole conversation in a way that probably would not have happened had I not been in that place.
Exactly. That was my exact experience. So it's funny that in two different places, it happened the exact same way.
Exactly. And, you know, I'm thinking about, you know, the recent passing of Chef Leah Chase. And she said, oh, my gosh. I am personally shook by it because I always wanted to meet her. I talk about it in the episode I released today. But when I was supposed to go down to New Orleans, there was a hurricane that was supposed to hit. So we didn't get a chance to go. And so it is breaking my heart that I did not get to see her. But one of the quotes that she talks about is, food builds a big bridge for us to connect with people. And there's a lot of things that we can learn about each other when we eat together.
Absolutely.
And I don't care what food truck festival I've been to. I've been to small ones. I've been to large ones. When done right, it is a space where you can see something of everything. And it kind of challenges your ideas on things. Like Soul Food Truck Fest is happening in Austin, Texas, October 26th. And I got a chance to talk to Donnell Creech, who's over that. And, you know, they said one of the things that we challenge is the notion of soul food. So we got Southern cuisine, but we got vegan soul food. We got Jamaican soul food.
One of my favorite trucks here in Charlotte is a soul food truck that they sort of do a twist on soul food and do a lot of soul food things with French fries and stuff like that. So, yeah.
Is it What the Fries? Is it that one?
Absolutely. You nailed it right on the head.
Listen, I love French fries. So I think there's been a couple of times where you and I have tag team on comments and other their posts before. And I was like, I got to try this.
I think their post is how I discovered you. Because you were under their post and I was commenting on what you commented. And that's how I started following you.
There we go. There we go. Yes, and I think I remember the exact picture, too. I think they had, like, some type of habanero chicken or it was something. I remember it had, like, chicken with it. It was a very colorful dish.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is I have to get to Charlotte. So I know I'm coming to Durham, North Carolina on September 9th through the 11th. I just have, like, a slew of places to go, so I just might have to get there a day early or stay a day late so I can make my way to Charlotte because I can't leave. I can't leave. I have it.
I hear you. And let me tell you now, they are worth the drive.
I already know it.
So, Jamie and Greg are awesome guys. I've been following these two since before they had a truck. when they were doing pop-ups to raise money to be able to get a truck, I was showing up at their pop-ups.
Oh my gosh.
Then I even went to the facility that built their truck.
Wow.
And I know every nut and bolt and everything in their truck because I watched it get built. Like, I've been following and supporting those dudes literally since before they had a truck.
That is amazing. See, we got to link up. I got to get to Charlotte to see everybody. I got to see 225 Street Food.
Oh, yes, you do.
Yes.
So, yeah, we just had Slutty Vegan here from Atlanta yesterday.
I saw that, and I was jealous. I saw it.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my gosh, because, you know, I'm in West Lafayette, Indiana, so I'm like an hour to an hour and a half north of Indianapolis, and I'm about 2 hours away from Chicago. So,
okay, gotcha.
Yeah, so I'm in between two cities that got options. I just don't have options necessarily where I'm at.
Understood.
So when I see other people with said options, I lament.
Rightfully so.
Okay, so I digress. So let's go back a little bit. So you jumped out the car, you're in this space, and you're just looking at all of the different options. From that moment, take me to how you got from there to the food truck guy.
So from there, I'm a people person, so I love to talk to people. I started just talking to a lot of the food truck owners. I started to frequent the food truck events, and not just the events. If they were pulled up somewhere for lunch or dinner somewhere and I had the time, I was there. I was at a food truck owner's window, and I would just talk to them. It was important for me to not just understand their food, but understand what inspired their food, understand what inspired them to start their business. And through that, I started to develop relationships with some of these food truck owners, and people would come to them and say, hey, you're living my dream. I really want to start a food truck one day. You know, how do I get started? And they would literally tell people, oh, well, there's this guy, James, who happens to know quite a bit about food trucks. You should talk to him. Or people would be looking for food trucks and they would be talking to their friends like, oh, I heard about this particular truck. And their friend would be like, oh, well, you know, I actually talked to this guy in the grocery store the other day who recommended that same truck to me. He said he has an Instagram. You know, let's go in there and see where that truck might be. And it literally just organically developed just from my natural passion and tendency toward the food trucks and the food truck community. People started asking for my advice and tips and asking me how to find certain food trucks. And it all just kind of came together over time.
That is awesome. And a lot of that is kind of what's been taking off with me, in a sense that now when people see me, they're like, okay, so what's the best food truck in this state? And it may be a state I haven't even been in yet, but surprisingly, I may know a food truck in that area because I follow
right.
them on social media.
Exactly.
Or, and it's one of those spaces where sometimes it's weird because I love the fact that people have started associating me with, like, okay, this is what she loves, what she's into. And then there's sometimes a space where sometimes I may feel as if, okay, well, since I'm not a food truck owner, can I make those assertions? Can I say X, Y, and Z about these trends? And so have you ever felt that in some cases or?
Yes and no. And when I started to sort of denounce that was when actual food truck owners started asking me questions and talking to me about different things. And I'm one of those people that I don't really give information about anything that I don't know about. So if we're talking about something and I don't know, I'll research it.
Yep.
And I'll revisit that conversation with them. And it has worked. A lot of people will come to me, and if there's something that I don't know about, I will find out about it and dig into it and help them learn about it and dig into it. And so, yeah, there's I just, the way I perceive it is that I just have a different perspective than the owner. Food truck owners are very in tune with their own business and with their customer base, their targeted audience. I consider myself to be in tune with the industry. I watch all of it. I talk to the owners of commercial kitchens. I talk to the owners of the places that build food trucks, repair them, supply food, supply vegetables and produce. I talk to all of them, and I combine that information with the information that I get directly from food truck owners, and I've, you know, worked with people to help them start and build their food trucks. I've worked with people to help them sell their food truck when they wanted to move on to something different. So I was able to just kind of dig into different aspects of all of it.
That for me has been how I have expanded my knowledge on the food truck industry is when the food trucks themselves, the food truck owners themselves would ask me, hey, is there a class on this? Or do you know how I could do this? And sometimes I would automatically have the answer. And then in some right. cases like you, I would have to do that research. And that is what expanded my knowledge on the food truck industry and started keep pushing me to think about different angles of it. So I initially started out looking at the racial and cultural differences because there's a lot of academic scholarship about Latinx and Mexican owned food trucks and lonchetas in particular, but very little outside of that. And even that scholarship is kind of new in a sense. I'll probably start seeing the most of it around 2010 because Time Magazine had the Great Taco Truck War in 2008. So right. you start seeing all of that, but then you don't have a lot of people that's talking about black owned food trucks. And that's kind of how my scholarship situates itself, is talking about where does black food trucks sit in this scene. And then from there, I started looking at, okay, what about the laws and the ordinances and having to watch how they all play out in different spaces across the country. Even sometimes right. looking at the international sphere. And it's just really a lot of times the questions that you get asked kind of help you push your knowledge content.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I would say here in Charlotte, first of all, I learned a lot from the owners of a place called the City Kitsch, which is okay. actually the commissary that what the fries cooks out of. And it's a husband and wife team, Dave and Carrie Hegnauer. And Carrie was actually a chef, professor and chef at Johnson Wales University.
Mm.
And so, and she teaches a class on starting food trucks, how to fund food trucks, how to find a commercial kitchen, how to develop partnerships with, you know, a church or a restaurant or whatever to use their commercial kitchen. She teaches a class on all of it, which I have not had the chance to take her class directly, but I've sat down and talked to her and her husband at different points and learned a ton. And one of the things that I learned from them was that here in Charlotte, 85% of the food truck and private chef and all of those things, owners here in the city, are minority mm-hmm. owners.
Amazing.
And part of their mission is to just support and be there for minority businesses. And so it's great. It's incredible that I could be plugged into an industry here in the city and it be exploding the way that it is and know that 85% of them are minority business owners and 80% of them are first-time business owners.
And that is key. And so yes. a lot of times when we're talking about entrepreneurship, what is key that a lot of people kind of look over is this your first time owning a business? What has right. been your exposure to entrepreneurs and business culture growing up? What resources do you have access to? And yes, capital is a huge part of it, but beyond capital, You know, if you get the funding, do you know exactly where to allocate that funding in the best way that will help you and your business grow? Right. Do you know how to make it sustainable? Are you ready for capacity and growth and expansion? And all of those like forms of resources and mentorship and guidance and sponsorship are huge and critical, especially if you're a first-time business owner.
Exactly.
So I want to take her class.
She actually just retired. I don't think she's teaching it anymore.
Oh, Lord.
But I'm sure it's one of those things where if we get a group of people together and, you know, like I said, she has her own facilities, she can teach the class anywhere, anytime. She could probably start traveling and do the class now.
You know what? Let's talk offline about that later.
There we go.
I got some ideas. Let's see what
we can
do.
Hey, I like to make things happen.
I do too, and I feel like this is a great time to make it happen. So I'm excited. Let's make some things shake. So you have seen all of the different aspects of the business, from the kitchens to wheels up, pavement, building the truck. What has been, in your observation, some of the challenges that new food truck owners and people who are new to the business often don't see coming?
Okay, so the biggest challenge that I thought new food truck owners or aspiring food truck owners were going to have was money. That is honestly not a huge issue anymore. There's so many different ways to source money to fund a food truck, but it's incredible. There are now finance companies that do nothing but fund mobile vending businesses. There are, you know, so many different ways to find sources of funding. The biggest obstacle that I have seen is finding places to vend for an upstart food truck, because a lot of them come onto the scene and they're all gung-ho and ready to go and start calling places and saying, hey, I got this new food truck. We'd love to come and serve at your building. And especially here in Charlotte, because the trucks have become so popular, things are booked for months out. So getting started initially, they have to weather a storm or be proactive enough to know, okay, my truck is going to be ready on about this date. I'll be able to get my inspections done by this date. And a week after that, I want to start serving. So start handling your social media, your marketing, start doing pop-ups, getting your name out there, and creating a presence for yourself so that once your truck is ready to go, you can even start building out a schedule and have a schedule built out to start immediately once your truck is ready to go. Because once your truck is ready to go, you now have immediate expenses.
That is so true. And I think a lot of the points you put out, is such as, you know, planning in advance is one thing that Trey Pay's Rolling Cafe, the owner of that system, the camp, she has done a great job of that. So the truck debuted actually this week. I think it was yesterday. But before that, you know, she got on social media and started crafting everything around her boys and the food truck, because the food truck is named after her two sons, Trey and Faith.
Oh, yeah. I listened to that whole podcast.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.
And, you know, I follow her, like, pretty much every day. There's not a day that goes by that I don't see something on her page about her food and about her boys. And then just seeing all the partnerships that she has been able to form prior to the truck's release has been absolutely incredible.
And that is by far the smartest way to handle it.
Yeah. So she's done an amazing job crafting that, you know, just starting out first-time business owner in this form has been an absolute great example of what you just saw, so or what you just stated. So for my listeners, if you want an idea of who to do that from that I've talked to in the past, Chris McCann is most definitely a great example of that for sure.
There you go.
So I wanted to ask, what have been some things that you've learned, like life lessons? Because something that I've noticed is that with every person that I've met in person, met via social media or through this podcast, without them even knowing that's what they're doing, a lot of times they saw some really great seeds of wisdom into my life. And I'm like, wow, that was awesome. So what have been some life lessons that you've learned from people by doing this?
Oh, wow. First and foremost is that if you really, really want something, if there's something that you really want in this life, there is nothing on earth that can stop you from accomplishing it other than yourself.
It's true.
That has been the biggest. I've seen people come out of prison with nothing but a dollar and a dream that hustled their way into starting their own business, flipping that business and starting something larger, and it worked out for them because they just wanted it bad enough. I've seen people whose businesses crashed and burned, and they chose not to give up on it. They chose not to give up on their dream, whether they pivoted and started something different or pivoted how they ran their operation and turned it around. There's always a way. There's always, always, always a way. If you truly believe in it and you truly want it, there's a way to make it happen. So, yeah.
Absolutely.
There's no excuses. There's no excuses at all. If you really want it, it doesn't matter what your circumstance is, where you are, what kind of money you come from, what's going on in your life. If you stop and take the time to really pray on it, really think about it, there's a way to make it happen.
And, you know, in one of the interviews that I'm releasing soon, we had a conversation. It came up twice. I did an interview this morning, and I did another one a few days ago. And both of the guests, they said the same thing, just do it. It doesn't matter where you start.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Right now, I'm sitting in my closet doing this interview, right? Because soon I'm going to move into a new apartment, and I'm dedicating a bedroom. I'm getting a two-bedroom apartment so I can have one room just to do my studio.
Got it.
And build it bit by bit. But what I have been able to do in my closet has made its way to 11 different countries.
Hey, but what, say it again. Yes.
But the thing is, I only say that because for a month, the podcast equipment that I do have sat on my couch because I was nervous about the outcome. Like, well, they say I need this and I need this and I need that and I can't afford that. All I can afford is this. And then I said, okay, you know what? I got to do something that is going to push me because I'm at a place now where there are people who know who I am and they look forward to what I'm, the content I produce. So I started just designing the cover art for the podcast. And I would post that every day, every week. And I said, okay, you know what? Now you got people anticipating. So whatever fear that you got to get over it. And one thing that one of my favorite motivational speakers says is, oh, you made this about you again. This isn't about you. This is about, this is about the people that you're out there to serve. And once I got that in my head.
Absolutely.
Once I got that in my head, I said, okay, you know what? Yeah, it's not going to be perfect starting out. But, hey, the process is not perfection. It's progression. And so the goal is to progress. And so had I kept all that stuff in this box and possibly sent it back to Amazon, we would not be on episode 12 as of today. And we would not be in all the places that we are in today. I got people from Spain and Canada, the Philippines, the UK, Australia, some places I've never been, that listen to this podcast, all because I had to get myself out the way and just start.
Mm-hmm. There you go. And I find that to be the case with a lot of things. And that is the simple difference between, you know, those who make it and those who talk about what they wanted to do is just start. Take that first step. Go for it. You learn. I think back to E.T., the hip-hop preacher.
Mm-hmm.
Incredible motivational speaker. The man makes six figures to do one talk now. When he started off in his basement with a camera on a tripod in a dark room with a black background just talking to a camera. And he said that talking to that camera in that dark room, he was so nervous because he had no clue what was going to come of it. He had no clue what kind of audience base he was going to develop. They didn't have a marketing team. They had nothing. He had a camera and a dream. And he was nervous, didn't want to start it because he didn't feel like he had everything he needed to do it. And he just finally said, you know what? I'm just going to do it. And now the man has an empire.
Yes. If you don't know who he's talking about, that's Eric Thomas that he's talking about, y'all. You can find him on Instagram, ET the Hip Hop Preacher.
Precisely.
And, you know, that is something that I've learned from every single food truck owner. If some of them said, hey, you know, it was, oh, I can't wait for it to come out. I can't wait for it to come out. So looking forward for this episode. But the biggest takeaway of it, cause I got to share this, is when he said, you know, I started out with a $15 grill. I set it up on the side of a street corner. And a homeless man, he said, a homeless man helped me run the plates back and forth, and I would pay him in food when I couldn't afford to pay him. And he did that for me for 2 years.
Wow. Wow, that's insane. That's crazy.
It comes out, like, that is what I love about what I do, is I get vulnerable with them, and I say, hey, you know, this is where I'm at. So I ask them the same questions I've asked you. It's like, what would be... like, I'll ask you this at the end, like, what would be some advice that you would have for somebody starting a business? And we just start talking, and then there comes a moment where I would get vulnerable and say, hey, this is where I'm at. And the next thing you know, they say, well, you know what, that makes me think about when I started and da-da-da-da. And I'm like, wow. The things you learn just when you create a space where both people are talking, both people are opening up about their experiences, and that part blew me away.
Yeah, definitely. That definitely just blew me away. But it's almost commonplace. You just don't hear the stories. Like, if you really sit down and talk to someone who was able to make their dream happen, there's always some element just like that, some rare piece of information, something that happened in their life that would not have happened if they hadn't have just, you know, put their faith out there, that ended up being, you know, what got them to the next level.
Exactly. And speaking of next levels, what is next for the food truck guys? So I've been seeing you post, you're promoting different places, you're sharing content, your wisdom, your knowledge with different people, but what's next?
Wow. Okay. So right now, what's next is, like I said, a big issue that I saw in the industry was that people had a hard time finding food trucks, and food trucks had a hard time finding places to be. So I started trying to figure out how to solve that problem. One thing that I've learned from everyone I spoke to in business, watching all types of shows on business, is to find a problem, create a solution.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started working to do exactly that. And we now have, I'm working with a gentleman named Nicholas Spindle out of Las Vegas, Nevada. And we have an application called WTF, Where's the Food Truck? It has just been launched nationwide. It was just in Vegas for a while it was being beta tested and worked on, tweaked and, you know, getting everything figured out. But it is now nationwide. And you can download the app. It's WTF, Where's the Food Truck? And you can now locate food trucks that have a profile on the app in any city that you're in.
Congratulations.
Thank you very, very much. So yeah, that is, and the plan is to have it worldwide, because all you need is a cell phone with a data plan and a GPS. And you can, as a food truck, you can mark when you're open. And it will send out a push notification to everyone within a 2 mile radius to let them know that you're open. If they have your food truck saved as a favorite in the app, it doesn't matter whether they're within 2 miles or 1,000 miles is going to let them know that you're open and your exact GPS location, and they can tap on the screen and GPS themselves directly to your truck. They can tap on the screen and see your profile and click a link to your Instagram, your Facebook, your Twitter, your website, your Yelp page, read reviews on you. They can see your profile and read what you have to say about your own business and the type of cuisine you create and all of those types of things. So my ultimate goal in life is to just bring people together from different cultures, different backgrounds. I feel like food trucks are a great way to do that. And I feel like building this network around the world is going to help just bring all types of people and businesses together.
That is dope. I'm excited. I am excited for this. So I will be downloading the app. I encourage everybody to do so as well, because, hey, I need to find some more food trucks. I need
to go. And if you're in an area that we haven't quite made it to yet and there are no food trucks signed up in your area, you can go on our Instagram or tag us in a picture on your page or send us a DM. The Instagram is WTF Where's the Food Truck, and we will reach out to that truck and get them added on. It is free for the trucks to come on initially and try it out, and it is completely free for the customers to download the app. So, yeah, we're trying to bring on every truck in the country.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Because, hey, anytime I need to know where a food truck is, I'm always down for it. I just love to eat. So I love seeing the different spin that each food truck puts on a dish that I've probably had a million times, but somehow they make it different.
There you go. There you go. That's one of the things I love so much about what fries is they have the most interesting spins on things that I would have never come up with.
Exactly. Exactly. I felt that way when I was in LA and I had Mr. Fry's Man and I had Blue Kitchen. Okay. Oh, and I had a Smitty's Signature Pudding. And I had almost every pudding that he had except for the strawberry one, because I'm allergic to strawberry. But
oh no.
Right. It just tastes like so many great things in life for me.
Right.
But, you know, just seeing things that we've had all the time, at least for me growing up as a child, but to see the different variations was just a lot of fun. And not to mention the truck design. Oh my gosh. I love looking at the different food truck wraps. Is there one that has ever stood out to you in Charlotte?
Yeah, there's actually been, a couple. There was one in particular. I don't even think the truck is in business anymore now that I think about it. And, what was the name of the truck? They sold the business and that person moved it. I'm trying to remember the name of it. I can't remember now, but the truck was designed by a food truck builder down in Orlando, Florida. And he actually, he made a 3D painting on the side of the truck that looked like the streets of Charlotte. And it had the Charlotte skyline in the backdrop, and it looked like you were literally walking down the street through the truck.
Wow.
It was absolutely amazing.
I didn't see that one coming.
Right, exactly. It was fantastic. And they were gourmet international sliders that they sold on the truck. And the design was just excellent. And I actually, the place is called Cool Blue Customs in Orlando, Florida. I traveled to Orlando to go check out this guy's facility where he makes trucks, because I was like, that is a dope design. And he actually won an award for a truck that he built, for a food truck in Maine that actually had a lighthouse attached to the truck.
Get out of here.
Yeah. Like there's no bounds as to what you can do with these trucks. And the great thing about it is, you know, if you develop a concept and you decide that, you know, this concept doesn't really work, it's not exactly what I want anymore, you can literally take the wrap off of a truck, reconceptualize, come up with a whole new design and menu, and you have a whole new business for a couple $1,000s.
This is true.
Mm-hmm.
This is true. It's one of those things that you get the access to the funding, you can just recreate yourself.
Right.
Just like that. So for you, I always like to ask people this. What have been some of the tools and strategies that you do to educate yourself on just business in general? Like you was talking about, you watch a lot of different shows and different books. What would be some shows or books that you would recommend?
Oh, wow. So, I mean, other than like Street Spice, that was the name of the truck, sorry. Other than, you know, there's always stuff like Shark Tank. And one of the shows that I learned the most from, a gentleman named Marcus Lemonis, has a show on CNBC that comes on right after Shark Tank. Oh, what's the name of the show? The Prophet. And he specializes in coming in and turning businesses around. And he's a multi-billionaire that has assessed a portfolio of every type of business that you can imagine. And he's done that for himself by coming in and getting partnerships with businesses at a discounted price because they were in the hole or the business was struggling or whatever. And he's come in, purchased a percentage in the business and infused money, time, and processes and made sure good people are in place to rebuild those businesses. And just the lessons that I've learned from watching that show were amazing. Other than that, just a lot of books, online seminars, and research, and talking to other entrepreneurs and professionals. Probably learn the most just from talking to people.
Yes. Yes.
So yeah, I try to surround myself with people that are just intuitive and have a sound mind for business. And I'm not afraid to ask questions.
That's key. That is key because there's so many vaults of knowledge that never get open simply because people don't ask.
Right. There you go.
So on average, how often do you read or how much do you read? Probably like a day or a week.
Oh, wow. If you ask my fiance, she says all the time. I don't feel like it's all the time, but even if we're sitting down, you know, spending time together watching something, I'm probably either reading something or listening to a business podcast or something. It's constant for me. But it's something that I have a personal interest in. Like I enjoy it. One of my favorite podcasts is called The Pitch, and I absolutely love
yeah.
it. Another one is, there's a woman who has a podcast called Bars.
Mm-hmm.
Her name is Dawn Dixon, and her partner, Kaleem, they have a vending machine business where they are developing the future of business, vending machines, and they are attaching facial recognition software to these vending machines so that the vending machines can be regulated for the, or can be used for the sale of regulated products like tobacco, alcohol, CBD, marijuana, all of these types of things. And she is a black businesswoman, serial entrepreneur that has just developed a podcast about all the trials and tribulations that she's been through, all the things
mm-hmm.
that she's learned and how she's learned them, and just spitting free knowledge for everyone on how to approach business in the right way. And I learned a ton, like an amazing amount of stuff listening to her podcast.
What I'm loving right now, you know, technology is not always great for us, but what I love is the access to the information that you can get.
Oh, you have access to everything. There's no excuse to not be able to find out what you want to know about anything.
Because you can turn on your TV and watch it. You can pull up, you know, your phone, get a podcast. Udemy is a website that I really do enjoy a lot of different times because I may want to learn how to design a pair of shoes. You know, I have moments where I just like to create different things. And I can go on YouTube, I can go on Udemy and figure out how to design a pair of shoes that I want or a t-shirt or whatever. And I build all these different types of skills simply because we have all of these different access and modes to information.
There you go. I'm just a curious soul, so I research all kinds of different things. And I'm one of those people that a lot of people will come to me about different things because I have at least a base knowledge on so many different things, just because I'm curious by nature. And I love information. I love understanding. And I love being able to help people find answers within their own life, whether I just lead them in the right direction or have the answer for them. And it's a joy for me.
It really can be. Like, I enjoy being a resource to people.
Exactly.
Like, when people ask me, hey, do you know about this? And then I'd be like, actually, I do know a little bit about that. And I'm like, it's a moment where I'm like, hey, all that stuff I've been doing on YouTube, this is what I did it for. Now it's really useful now because someone's asking me about it.
There you go.
I enjoy it. I really do. It shows me, hey, there's a need for this. And so I can feel that need. If you had one piece of advice to, first of all, an aspiring food truck owner, but also just an entrepreneur, period, what would it be?
Something that I feel applies to any industry that an entrepreneur wants to go into is to never stop educating themselves and listening to the end user of whatever it is that they're creating. And listening to those people is part of educating yourself. So there's a constant learning process, because industries change, tastes change, technology changes, everything is constantly changing. And for you to be able to have a business that's structured to keep up with that change, you have to keep learning.
I remember not too long ago, Keon, he did the Instagram Live. Keon
Davis?
The owner. Yes, a smooth move.
I was on there.
Yeah, we were tag teaming a lot of questions on that one.
Oh, yes, we were.
Yeah. I had an opportunity to talk to Keon a few months ago. I think it was around this time, like right before the food truck got launched. And that was back when he was, before he moved to Atlanta.
Ah, okay.
And so just learning from him, you know, how he started his business and things of that nature. But I remember on the live stream, I asked him about a business plan, and he was talking about like why he doesn't necessarily agree with business plans. By the time you've done all of that research and you release it and you apply for the loan or whatnot, that data is old.
Completely and totally. And I agree with him on that. I would say that putting together a pitch deck as opposed to a business plan is much more effective. It's quicker to put together. You definitely need a lot of the same information, but it's one of those things that, depending on how you're going to choose to fund your enterprise, it is what it is. You may need something like that to go after the line of funding that you want. There's definitely other ways to do it. You can start doing things, you know, out of your house. You can start doing things, like you said, with a $15 grill on the side of the road. And the lessons that you'll learn through that process are better than a college degree. It is awesome.
Yeah.
Real life circumstances. You learn so much from those things that, and you'll be amazed at how many other ways that you can accomplish what you're trying to accomplish will open up through the process of doing. So, yeah, I definitely agreed with his response to that question.
I did too. Like, it was eye-opening in that sense. Like, of course, like if you have to go that route of a business plan, then that's what you have to do. But to your point of always learning is, hey, don't just rely on that information.
Right. No, definitely not.
Like, don't just rely on that information. There was a conversation I had with the owner of Raging Cajun. He said, if you're going to have a business plan, go back, revisit it, update it, you know, make sure that you're still in that same vein. Or if you've changed, how have you changed? Where are you going? But you always have to be a constant researcher and staying on top of your craft.
Exactly.
Very briefly, I want to go back because I want to make sure that my listeners are in line with us when we're throwing out certain terms. Can you, for just a moment, just break down what a pitch deck is?
Oh, absolutely. So basically, to make it as simple an explanation as possible, a pitch deck is a business plan that is abbreviated into a PowerPoint presentation, basically. Yep. And you can, it's much more visual than a business plan that's typically just pages and pages of numbers and jargon. I feel like it's quicker to the point. It's much more poignant and effective when you get in front of someone that is the type of individual that can grant you the type of money you may need to do what you're doing. Normally that's a very busy person, and a pitch deck can really, you can email them a pitch deck. And yep. you can look through it and get a complete understanding of what you're trying to do. You can have videos, you can have visuals, you can have the numbers. And, you know, there's definitely basic questions that your pitch deck has to answer to give them a full sense of your business and what you're trying to do. But I feel like it is 100 times more effective than a traditional business plan. And it even feels like more thought and effort was put into it, when in all actuality, it's easier to do, in my opinion, than a business plan.
It kind of makes me think about something that we do in academia, where instead of having a long research statement, and of course, people do ask me for research statements when you're applying for different jobs and positions, but one of the things that I have is a research schema, which is just a one-image graphic that explains what I do right on the spot.
Oh, there you go. Exactly. Conceptually, there you go.
Yeah. So for my listeners, here are some of the things that you keep in mind when you're doing your pitch deck. You're going to have like your introduction, who you are, mm-hmm. why you're here. You got to keep it short and sweet. Your team, showing the people behind the idea, briefly describe their role if you have time for that. Big thing, the problem. What are you trying to solve? Is it really a problem?
Yes. There you go.
Advantages, what makes your solution special? How are you different from the others? So this is just another way of saying your competitive advantage. What makes you mm-hmm. unique in this field? The solution, we talked quite a bit about that, is how it's not enough to just address that this is a problem or this is something that's going on or a trend that you're noticing, but how are you planning to solve that problem? How are you planning to address that trend? Then you get into your product. How does your product or service actually work? You have some examples. So for some of you, may be like your menu items that kind of stand out that are really catchy and trendy. Traction. Having huge. Having a measurable, I'm going to underscore that, measurable set of customers that serve to prove a potential. So who are you connecting with? What is your audience looking like? Like, who are you connecting with? Is it measurable? This is not something that you're randomly pulling out of the hat. You've done the work to research this, and you know that this is a measurable outcome. That gets into your market. You have to know, or at least attempt to predict, the size of your target market. So is there age range? Like, what area? What do they like to do? If you're trying to, you know, target people during their lunch break at this particular place, you know, get an idea of that. Your competition, you know, you're not the only food truck. The industry is, when it closed at the end of 2017, is $2.7 billion. I'm pretty sure it's surpassed that by now. So you're not the only person in the market. So what's your competition looking like? Are there alternative solutions to the problem that you're trying to solve? Are they addressing it in a different way from you? Also, your business model. So how are you going to make money? Everything else sounds great, but guess what? If you're not bringing in money, your truck is going to stay in park. So how are you planning to make money? What's the schedule of when you expect for the revenue to start coming in? Your investing. What's your planned budget? What kind of money are you looking for and from whom? And your contact, like, how can people get in contact with you if they're going to invest in your dream or provide you with mentorship or resources? So in short, these are kind of things to keep in mind when you're building a pitch deck.
There you go.
All right, James. So if they want to follow you on social media, we got the app, but if they want to follow you on social media, how can they connect with you?
Yes, you can go to my primary social media is Instagram, and it's at foodtruckguyclt. And that's actually it for all social media, whether it be Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, is all Food Truck Guy CLT. And once again, the app is WTF, Where's the Food Truck? And that is the same for all of the social media as well, and the website.
So make sure you download the app, follow James on social media. You're going to be hungry. If you follow either one of us, you are going to be hungry and you're going to be like, where do they have time to find these people? Because we find them so that you can get introduced to them.
Absolutely.
James, it has been an absolute pleasure talking to you this evening.
I thoroughly enjoyed it. We got to do it again sometime.
Well, look, I'm out of time, but I'm definitely not out of material. Once again, thank you for kicking it with me for another episode of the Food Truck Scholar Podcast. If you are a food truck owner that would like to be a guest or a listener that has suggestions for a food truck I should try, email me at Ariel, that's A-R-I-E-L, at thefoodtruckscholar.com. And make sure you follow me on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter as The Food Truck Scholar to stay up to date on the latest in the food truck world. I'm your host, Ariel D. Smith, signing off and reminding you to eat local, buy local, and support your local food truck owners. I'll see you next week.